This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi mursayin Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakum Allahu khairan for coming for this halaqa, and as promised before, we'll be talking tonight inshallah about binary option trading in the stock market or in Islamic fiqh. We want to know the ruling of this kind of trading that appeared in the market in the last maybe 6 or 7 years. But before that, I would like to talk about the regular options that are traded in the market. They're called classical options or traditional options that they've been for a while, for a long period of time in the market. So we talk about them, try to understand, of course, they are ruling in Sharia also. And if they are halal, why they are halal? If they are haram, why? What's the reason behind this ruling? Inshallah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And most likely we'll talk about the concept of al-gharar, which is uncertainty in contracts. This is another problem beside riba. Many people focus on riba interest and forget about some other forbidden elements in Sharia. So traditional option contract, when we talk about this contract, what is the definition? They say that an option contract is an agreement between two parties to facilitate a potential transaction. So there is no, they are aiming for a potential transaction that might take place in the future. On an underlying asset, yani there is another asset, could be stock, it could be an index, it could be something else, a security, a financial security that is sold in the market. So the contract is not about this asset, it's not about the stock, it's a different agreement that is made to facilitate this future transaction. This future transaction might take place and it might be canceled or killed. The option could be exercised or could be killed. But there is an initial transaction that takes place between two parties, between the seller of the options and the buyers in the market. And here, they said this potential transaction on an underlying security at a predetermined price. So they have to fix the price. It's called the strike price. So they said, he will tell you, the seller will tell the buyer of the options, I'm willing to sell 100 shares for you. I have these 100 shares at the price of $45. Their current price could be at that time $40. But he said, I will sell it to you within this period of time at the strike price of $45. And then the buyer who buys this option, he will be watching for the price. The price up or go down. If it goes up, if he's the buyer of a call option, it is in his favor. We'll explain that, inshallah. We'll try to repeat that until it is clear. If the price goes down, then it is not in his favor. He doesn't exercise his right. So this agreement will give the buyer of the option is obligated to sell or to buy. It depends on the type of option we are talking about. We're dealing with. And it has to be during a period of time. Usually the period of the classical options is 90 days, 3 months. Here we are not talking about binary options. We are talking about the classical or the traditional options. Even employees in companies, different companies are receiving options from their companies. We'll talk about their ruling tonight, inshallah. At least there is something halal that we'll talk about it tonight. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So the two types of contracts are put and call options. If it is a call option, then the buyer of the option has the right to buy, but not the obligation. He's not obliged. The price goes up, then he will exercise his right, and then he will buy at a good price. Price is up, but he will buy it at the strike price, which is, as I mentioned now, $45. So now let's explain it. Let's give you a detail here. Imagine we have a trader, Mr. A. He's holding shares of a company with a current price. The current price now is $40, for example. He might sell a call option. So someone will buy it from him for these 100 shares, for example, with a strike price, as I said, of $45. So taxi 495 is parked in the neighbor's parking. Taxi. And the number is 495. Yeah. So we shouldn't park in that area, Juan. Now, when the holders of the shares sell these options, he will receive a payment. Let's say he sells these options for $2 each. So if there are 100 shares, the total will be $200, right? So who will receive, he will put in his pocket $200. This is the payment. These are called the premiums of the options. There is no, they are not selling or buying any shares here. They're not talking about any shares. Just doing this initial transaction, which is buying these options, called options. So the Mr. A here, as I said, he's a trader. And he's selling these call options for $200. He received the premiums from Mr. B, who is trying to buy, going to the market, to speculate on the prices of these shares, going up and down. So he buys these options. What will happen is, they said Mr. A, who sold these options, call options, is called the writer. The writer of the options. And he is obliged to sell. If the other one wants to exercise his right, then he doesn't have a choice. Since he sold these options and he received this money, this payment, then he is obliged to sell within this period of time, which is 90 days. And he's called the writer of the options. The other one is called the holder of the options. And as I said, as I told you, the underlying asset could be a stock, could be an index, could be anything. Now, the Mr. B, who bought these options, he will wait for the prices for this within this period of time. He has paid $200 as fees or premiums for these options. And he has the right now to buy within this period the shares for $45. Now, he's watching the prices. The price goes up to $50. To $50. This is an example, right? Now, he has the right to buy these shares now for $45. They are being sold now in the market for $50. But he has the right. Since he made this agreement, then he has the right to buy these shares for $45. So he will buy these shares for $45. For each share, he will make a gain of how much? $5. So his total profit will be $500 because he has the right to buy these 100 shares for $45. The current price now in the market is $50. So he's buying it cheaper, $5. His profit now is $5. Because if he sells it again in the market right away, he will make $5 as a profit because he bought them for $45, so he made a profit of $5 for each share. Now the total profit that he made, $500. How much he made now, the net profit, since he paid $200 and he made a profit of $500, his net profit will be $300. This money that he made, Mr. B, the one, the holder of the options, his net profit is $300. This amount, this is the same amount, is the loss of Mr. A. This is very important to understand, if you want to understand the gharar. So we're talking about the concept of gharar here. This $300 is the loss of Mr. A. And it is the net profit of Mr. B here. Okay, what would happen if the price goes down? So the strike price or the exercise price is $45. the Mr. B who bought this options is watching for the prices, and at the end of the period or before the end of the period, the price goes down to $35. Do you think he will exercise his right to buy? He doesn't. He doesn't buy them for $45 where the price in the market is $35, right? So he does what? He kills the options. He doesn't exercise his right. He's not obliged to buy. The holder of the options is not obliged to buy. But if he wants to buy, then the other person is obliged to sell to him. But here, of course, he will not buy anything. I mean, no one will buy this with this price when they are being sold in the market, when the current price is $45. So now, what does he do? He kills the options. So how much he lost? He lost $200. These $200, the loss of Mr. B, is the same amount. It's the same amount, net profit of Mr. A. Mr. A did not sell anything. Did sell. The only thing he sold is the options. Yani he didn't sell his shares, is what I mean. His shares are with him. He just sold the options for $200. The other guy did not like the price in the market. He did not exercise his right. And this guy, the options are killed. Everything is over. And this writer of the options made $200. And it is the loss of Mr. B. Now, this is called zero-sum games or zero-sum measure. 300, which was the profit of Mr. B, was the loss of Mr. A. So 300 minus 300, the total is zero. 200 was the profit of Mr. A, and it was the loss of Mr. B. 200 minus 200 is zero. So they are called معادلة صفرية. باللغة العربية معادلة صفرية. بلغة الفقهاء, with the language of the فقهاء, يقولون المعاملة تدور بين الغلم والغرم. إذا دارت المعاملة بين الغلم والغرم فهي محرمة حصريا فهي محرمة في الشرع. This is قاعدة, this is a rule. يعني to explain it more, Mr. A and Mr. B, both of them, they don't know the outcome of the transaction. They don't know what will happen to the prices, if the prices are going up or down. If they know the direction of the market, do you think, yani, they will do this transaction? They will not do it. Because they know, at least one of them will be a loser, right? And one of them will be a winner. Of course, the winner would love to do it. But if the loser, if the other party knows that the direction of the market will not be in his favor, then he will not do this transaction. He will not buy these options. Because he doesn't know the outcome or the direction of the market or direction of the prices, he is guessing. He's guessing. He said he's predicting, trying to maybe study the graphs and listen to the news and see what's going on and trying to guess, predict the direction of the prices. And making this transaction hoping that, you know, the direction of the market will be in his favor. And he will make money. And the other one is hoping that the prices will go down, and then he will keep the payment of the options, right? So everyone is, you know, waiting for the direction of the market or what will happen in the market. So here, both of them, they don't know the outcome of this transaction. When you don't know the outcome of a transaction, this is gharar fahish. Gharar fahish. And try to switch off the cell phones, Ikhwan. So this is gharar fahish. It's called excessive gharar. Al-gharar fi shari'a huwa al-jahala, uncertainty. And of course, it's a type of risk. There are some types of risk that are accepted in sharia when you do business. Commercial risk or natural disaster. Someone is bringing some merchandise, I said, from China or from another country, and something happens on the way. A natural disaster. It was a strong wind and, you know, something happened and he lost all his merchandise or all his wealth. This is, alhamdulillah, يعني, you can do nothing about it. Commercial risks is when you bring some merchandise to the market, hoping that you'll be the only one selling this thing, and then we'll find out that there are many people who are selling the same thing, and the prices will go down, and you lose some money. But this is something that you cannot control. The gharar that is haram in Sharia, that is forbidden, when you control the terms of the contract, but on purpose, you gamble with your money. You accept terms that are not clear. You accept al-jahala, you accept the deal with uncertainty in your contract. So it is a contractual risk that you, both parties have accepted to, you know, to include in their contract. This is what is not accepted in Sharia. This is, and the gharar, the ulama, they said gharar is divided into three levels. There are three levels of gharar. There is excessive gharar, which is al-gharar al-fahish. When there is complete uncertainty about the transaction, here you don't know what will happen to the market. We don't know what will happen to the price of gold. For example, it could be the underlying asset could be gold or could be a stock of a company. You don't know if the price will go up and down. You have no clue. Even if you try to study the market and listen to the news, and you're just predicting. I mean, it's very difficult for most people, especially individuals and regular traders. I'm not talking about institutions. Institutions have more access to the market. They have more access to information. And it's very difficult for individuals actually to win against institutions. But I'm talking about individuals. Most of us, yani, we don't know. We don't have good access to the market. It's very difficult to understand and to predict the direction of the market. But even if you are doing it, there's no guarantee that the direction of the market will be in your favor. So it is amaliya, يعني بيع من بيوع الغرر. What is the proof? Hadith in Sahih Muslim. نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الغرر. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has forbidden the sales of غرر. This is Hadith Sahih. The word غرر is not mentioned in the Quran. It's not like riba. Riba is mentioned in the Quran and mentioned in the Hadith. But the word غرر, which is uncertainty, is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in Sahih Muslim, نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الغرر. وهناك أمثلة قديمة, يعني there are some other examples that are traditional examples that were mentioned in the old days, during the early days of Islam, selling a bird in the sky, يعني telling the person, look at this bird, I'm going to catch it and sell it to you. Or selling a fish in the sea, or selling something that you don't know. I mean, you don't know if it will be good, you'll be happy with it or not. They had some sales that are based on gharar, uncertainty, complete uncertainty and ignorance. They were practiced during the Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came, he said, all these sales are not valid, they are not accepted in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, three levels of gharar, excessive gharar, which is gharar fahish, like buying a car, telling brother, مثلاً, even if you trust him, even if he's your best friend, giving him $3,000 or $400, I need a car for this month. Just buy me a car. Without telling him, يعني, the year of the car or the mileage or I need a Honda and that's it. And then he'll bring a car and you'll not be happy with it, and then you'll end up having a bad relationship because you were not clear. This is gharar, this is jahala, right? So you cannot do that. You cannot just say, I don't want to buy a car from you. Here, 3,000 or 4,000, just give me a car and everything will be fine, inshallah. So you can't do that. In Islam, you have to look at the subject of sale. You have to examine it. You have to be happy, satisfied. Now, let's talk about, مثلاً, the philosophy. If we can call it philosophy of Islam regarding sales. In sales, Islam wants both parties to be happy. So it should be a win-win situation. The other situation that we talked about, it's a win-lose situation. It's all the time, it's a win-lose. One is a winner, the other one is a loser. What the other one makes as a profit, the other one with the same amount will be the loss for the other person. But regular sales that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal, everyone is a winner. We're talking about the ideal sale here. Of course, there could be some other problems, cheating or some other problems that are there. But let's talk about uncertainty, removing the element of uncertainty. Now, مثلا, Ahmed is selling his car. And Muhammad is buying this car from Ahmed for $5,000. Ahmed here is willing to abandon or give up his car because he sees more value in the $5,000. He doesn't need now this car. He needs money. So he sees more value in this amount of money of $5,000. So he's willing to give up his car for this amount of money. From that perspective, he's a winner. In his sight, he's making a good deal, selling this car and getting $5,000. Muhammad, who is buying this car, he looked at the car, took it to the mechanic, looked at the mileage, looked at the tires, listened to the sound of the engine. He tried the car, drove it for half an hour in the city. He knows about, what he's doing. He's happy. He's satisfied. He sees more value in the car. That's why he's willing to give up his $5,000. From that perspective, he's a winner. So at the end, it is a win-win situation. This is what Islam wants us to do. All the information is clear about, the sale or the contract, and everyone is happy. And everyone is a winner at the end. You go to the market to buy something because you need it, and you're happy, and you're willing to pay that $20, $30 because you see more value in that product that you are buying. So from that perspective, you are a winner. The other person is making business. He's selling things, making more money. He's happy. Everyone is happy. But when it comes to this sale here, one of them will be upset. There is no doubt about it. It's a win-lose situation. It's a zero-sum game or a zero-sum measure. Now, and as I said, the ibara that is used by the fuqaha, they said, إِذَا دَارَتِ الْمُعَامَلَةُ حَصْرِيًا بَيْنَ الْغُنْمِ وَالْغُرْمِ فَهِيَ مُحَرَّمَةً. What is الْغُنْم? Is a profit. الْغُرْم is complete loss. So when the transaction has only two options, it's either profit or complete loss of the capital, then it is haram. It is not accepted in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're talking about the different levels of gharar. The second level of gharar is medium. You could call it medium level of gharar. When the information about the contract is not fully provided. And here it could be controversial. I don't have examples in mind now. But it could be, study it case by case. The scholars are supposed to look into it when they deal with a case that has a medium level of gharar. When the full information is not provided about the contract or about the product. There is some information that is provided, but the whole information is not there. So it could be a medium level of gharar. It could be accepted sometimes when there is a pressing need. Because there is some tolerance in sharia for gharar. Like when you compare gharar with riba, there is zero tolerance for riba in sharia. Riba is only halal at times of necessity. When someone is about to die, if he doesn't deal with riba, or he will lose a part of his body, or he will only stay with his family in the street, or he will lose completely his wealth. There are different types of necessities. So at times of necessity, riba is permissible. الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. Like someone traveling in the desert doesn't have food. The only option he has is to eat some pork. Right here, he's allowed to eat. This is a necessity, darura. He needs to survive. So, but gharar, there is some tolerance for gharar in sharia. It is called, which is the third level of gharar, it's called al-gharar al-yasir, a minor gharar. A minor gharar, like buying, methanan, chocolate egg. Your child might be interested in the toy inside, right? And you buy it for $1. But you don't know what kind of toy is inside, right? But this is something very minor. And there is something that he will benefit from, chocolate. Even if he doesn't like the toy, he will eat the chocolate. Or, methadone, a bar, chocolate bar that has some toy with it. Or methadone, someone buying a house. Of course, he needs to look at the house and ask for the date. This house was built and get all the documents and do the due diligence, talk to his real estate agent. But he cannot dig around the house to check the foundation. He can't. Have you seen anyone, you know, buying a house and digging around the house to check the foundation? He can't do that. It's not, I mean, this is a gharar that is accepted in Sharia. You don't know the, what kind of foundation is there. Buying a used car, new car is, everything is fine. It's a new. But buying a used car, are you supposed to take out the engine for examination? You can't do that. You just try the car, you listen to the sound of the engine, you take it to a mechanic. Yeah, you try your best. You know the mileage, you look at the tires, and you try your best. You're happy with the car, alhamdulillah, it's fine, you buy it. But there is a minor level of gharar there. You don't, you are not able to take out the engine and, you know, look at each, every piece in the engine. You can't do that. So this is a level of gharar that is accepted. Or someone, a farmer, buying, methan a field, complete field of carrots or are inside, in the ground, or potatoes. He cannot go and see, check every carrot before he buys the whole thing. He can't do that. I mean, he can check 5 pieces or 6 pieces from different corners. And then if he's happy, he will look at the quality of this, you know, vegetables. If he's happy with them, in general, he will get an idea about, you know, the rest of the carrots in this field. And then he should be able to make a deal. This is accepted in Sharia. He got an idea, right, about these kind of vegetables. But he cannot go and check every piece because they are supposed to stay in the ground. Yeah? They are supposed to stay until you take them, until the time comes for you to sell them in the market. Then you take them out and you sell them in the market. Before that, you can't do that. So this is a level of gharar that is accepted in Sharia. You take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese Center. What is the purpose of taking your kids to the Chuck E. Cheese Center? For them to play and have fun. So you're paying this money. What is the counter value or the subject of sale is for them to spend time there, enjoy their time, and play with these machines, these tubes and these bouncing, you know, castles and everything. So you are paying this money for the sake of your children playing there. Now your children will collect some tickets, coupons, and then at the end he will take these coupons and get some gifts. You don't know what kind of gifts, or you don't know how many coupons your kids will collect. But is this the subject of sale? This is not a subject of sale. This is an accessory. Right? We have a rule in Sharia, يَجُوزُ تَبَعًا مَا لَا يَجُوزُ اسْتِقْلَالًا. يعني the subject of sale here, of contract, is for them spending time in that place and playing with those machines. So this is something extra, which is them collecting some coupons and going to the desk and getting some gifts or some candy. So what you don't know what kind of candy they're going to get or what kind of toys. This is not important. This is accepted in Sharia. This is a minor gharar that is accepted in Sharia. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So you see the difference between the different levels of gharar? Naam? Okay. And options are clear, ya akhwan? The options that we talked about. So let's move now to what is called ESOs, or employee stock options. So here, these stock options are granted to employees of a company. Let's say there is a manager who is coming, he's hired, and the company will give him a salary. They will tell him, we'll pay 100,000 for the whole year, but we'll give you the right now. They're giving him the right to buy, for example, 500 shares of the company after 2 years, not now, after 2 years, at a strike price of $50 per share. So what is the purpose of giving these options to this employee? To keep him in the company, keep employees in the company, and also to motivate them is an incentive. Okay, but the employee is not paying anything. So he's not gambling with his money. He's not spending anything. It is a gift from the company. It's a bonus. Or it's a gift or a grant from the company. So he's not paying anything. So after 2 years, for example, He told him, we're going to sell these 500 shares to you at a strike price or exercise price of $50 per share. But after 2 years, the price goes up to $70 per share. So the employee is very happy now. He will sell, he will buy the shares from the company at the price of $50. He doesn't buy with the current price, with the market price, which is $70. So he's making a gain of $20 for every share. That would be the total of $10,000, right? 500 shares per 20 is $10,000. So now he will exercise, after 2 years, he will exercise his right. He will buy these 500 shares, sell them right away in the market, and make a gain or a profit of $10,000 from this transaction. This arrangement was made halal by, for example, Sheikh Salah Sawi and some other scholars. They said it is halal because here, it's not the employee is not spending any money. He's not gambling with his money. It is a grant that was given to him by the company. The only thing is employees, Muslim employees, have to pay attention. Most of the companies here deal with interest. They have, interest income. So he should pay attention to the purification of his income. He needs to purify his income. Where you tell me he's an employee, he's receiving a salary. There is a difference between receiving a salary, giving a service to the company, and receiving a salary for it. Your service is supposed to be halal since you are Muslim, so your work should be halal. You are working, even the company, some other activities, you are supposed to do halal work for this company. So you are receiving a salary. This salary is halal for you, right? Now, the moment you buy shares, you become one of the owners. And you have more responsibility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you buy the shares of this company, you have more responsibility. You are not just a contractor with them, giving them some services and receiving a salary for this work that you do. No, you become one of the owners, you are one of the shareholders, and you should have a say in the management of the company. So that's why the ulama, they said, here it's better if, that the main activity of the company is halal, let's say oil and gas, but you know that this company is keeping money in the bank. So it's easy. How do you solve? You can go to your accountant, and if he is, if this company is a public company, and it's listed publicly, then all their financial statement are made public, and it's easy for your accountant to look at the balance sheet. He might need to look at the interest income, and it's easy to find out the percentage of this interest income. And maybe he need to look at non-operating activities. What are the non-operating activities? In an income statement, there are any other activities that are not part of the main activities of the company. You could be working in an oil company, you're happy, it's only oil and gas, everything is clear and halal and pure. But your company could be investing in other activities, in other areas that are not halal, that are not halal. So your accountant needs to look at interest income, and he can do it in 1 hour by looking at the financial, the balance sheet and the different financial statement, and also looking at the percentage of the non-operating activities. And it's easy for accountants to do it. And he will tell you the percentage of this wealth here coming from these activities, if they are or from interest. So if it is 5%, making 10%, give 10% out of this money as a donation, out of this profit that you made. Right? We said you made 10,000 as a profit, right? Give 10% as a donation. Or if he tells you if it is 10%, make it 15% or 20% to be in the safe side. And then your income will be purified, inshallah. But these khiyarat should be halal, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. They are called khiyarat in Arabic. Khiyarat al-ashum, khiyarat al-muwazzafin. These are employee stock options. There is another way to receive this reward. There is another way. And here I want you to pay attention as a Muslim employee, if you are working with a company. If they are giving you this option, you can talk to the financial department in your company and see if you they can include in the agreement one a clause there, then you can you'll have the right to receive this difference. You know the difference between 50 and 70 that was $20? You have the right to buy the shares for $50. Now in the current in the market, they are $70. So the difference is the gain is $20 per share. So the total of your profit is $10,000. Some companies, I think, they are willing to give you this $10,000 cash. And you don't have to buy these 500 shares. They don't have to sell to you these 500 shares. And they give you this $10,000 cash as a reward. Because you worked hard for these 2 years, you stayed with them, and you helped them, you know, make the price go higher to $70 per share. So you contributed in the success. Some companies will be willing to give you this money, cash. So you don't have to buy the shares. You are not an owner. You don't have to purify your income. Just get $10,000 and that's it, cash. Put it in your pocket and you'll be happy. And this is halal, inshallah ta'ala. Now let's talk about binary, which is a new... I'll show you the picture. I was supposed to show you this trading platform. This is something new that was introduced 2008. I don't know if you are able to see, but I'll try to explain this. This is binary option trading platform. They're selling they're looking at the prices of gold here. Gold. So with this binary options, the traders, there is no underlying asset to be sold or bought in the future. So the people who come and trade in this market, the binary, they're dealing with brokers. Most of them are not regulated. Like, to the best of my knowledge, this activity is not regulated in Canada, is not regulated in the U.S. But it is regulated in many European countries. Okay? So these binary options, for example, here we have, they're looking at the price, they are monitoring the price of gold. So they tell you, and the duration of these options is not 90 days like their classical or traditional options. It could be 15 seconds. It could be 1 minute. It could be 1 hour. It could be 30 minutes. So you have to, the only thing you do, you have to predict the price. Or guess, I would say guess the price. Because even if you have graphics in front of you and you try to look at the history of this stock or this asset, it's very difficult to get it right. It's very difficult. You can see sometimes there is a trend. You look at the graphic and there is a trend. The price is going down, but it might go up a little bit and then down again and then up a little bit. It's very difficult. So by the way, but they tell you, the minimum deposit for some companies is $100, could be $200, $250 with many brokers. So you can trade with $100, let's say. $100. They tell you, look at this 80% here, 80%. If you click on call, that means you are predicting the price to go up at the end of the duration. Let's say the duration is 1 minute, 60 seconds. So you press call, which is going up. So at the end of 60 seconds, if the price goes up, how much is the payout? Is 80%. So they make them attractive by giving you, like, for $100, they give you $80. So your payment will be $180. They make them very attractive. But if the price goes down, you will lose your money. Completely. $100. So it's a zero-sum game. And this is pure gambling. Because there is no economy here. They are not taking your money to the market. The counterparty in this transaction, they are the brokers. They don't take your money to the market. They are just doing this, business with you. And they have more access to information than you. And they do it in a way they will be always winner. Because if the market is not in your favor, the price, the direction of the price is not in your favor, you lose your whole money. Nothing. You get nothing. $100. But if you win, you don't get another $100. You get only 80, 70%. You know. So here, مثلاً, this is gold. And the duration of this transaction is 1 hour. They have here 30 minutes. They have 1 hour. They have 2 hours. So he clicked on 1 hour. And the time remaining here, 1 minute and 40 seconds. 1 minute and 40 seconds. So the guy is waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. Of course, his blood is boiling. And if he's investing only, this is, it could be an example. It could be true. I'm not sure. But what I know, most of these companies, the minimum deposit with them is 200, 250. Some of them 100, but here they put $25. So you put $25, how much you earn? If it is in your favor, you're $45. So you make trading with $25, you make $20 as profit because it's 80%. This is a pure gambling. This is pure gambling. It is another form of gharar fahish, excessive gharar, because you don't know. It's just guessing. It's a guessing game. You don't know if the price will go up and down. I mean, there is no way to make it halal. Unfortunately, there are many companies who are offering Islamic binary account tradings. And they are playing with this with the Muslim traders and investors. They have no certification. If you look at their website, how can you challenge them? They always have someone ready there to chat. You can click on and chat with him or with her. Tell me, who are your Sharia board members? What kind of certification you have? I looked at some of the companies, some of these accounts. They had a sign there that it is certified Islamic or Sharia account. And when you read the explanation, the main thing they focus on is riba, that there is no riba here. We know that there is no riba here. The problem is not about riba. The problem is about gharar, excessive gharar. So no one is talking about betting, the element of betting here. This is clear. This is a clear gambling here. There is no, you're not adding any value to the economy. You're not bringing any merchandise or any commodities to the market. You are not adding any value to the market. So this is pure gambling. But yet these companies, and many of them, they have their offices in places where financial markets are not regulated. Are not regulated, like Cyprus and some other countries. Cyprus, I mean, was trying their best in Cyprus to regulate their financial market. But as I told you, to the best of my knowledge, these activities are not regulated in Canada. They are not regulated in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, there are some authors. Someone, he wrote a book about binary options profit. His first name is John. Forgot his last name. And he himself saying there that among the challenges that this investment, they call it investment, but it is not investment, it's gambling, is facing, is that this activity is classified in many countries, and he's talking here about European countries and North American countries and everything, as gambling. So even non-Muslims or financial authorities in these countries are classifying this activity as a pure gambling. He said one of the challenges that these activities is facing. And I know someone who lost, a Muslim brother who lost 200,000. 200,000 with this activity. And he called me on the phone. I don't know who he is, but he called me on the phone. He said, brother, what do you think about this? I lost 200,000 with a company from the UK. Not from here. And he met someone online and he convinced him to trade with a broker there in UK. And he lost 200,000. This is a big amount of money. So I hope that everything is clear about these kind of activities. If you have some questions, we can talk about them, inshallah. Still have time before Maghrib. Bidnillah ta'ala, I am sorry. And we couldn't I use the screen, but that's fine. I think it's easy, right? The concept is not difficult. If you have questions, feel free, raise your hand, and we inshallah, we'll talk about them. Tafadhal. Yeah, but that's why I started with the classical options. There is an underlying asset there. That means if you choose to buy the stock, you can buy the stock. You can buy the indexes. Buying indexes, trading indexes is haram. But let's say stock. Some stock is halal. So the asset is there. But the option itself, the sale of options itself is haram. Because you are also gambling. You don't... No, the binary options, there is no asset there. Yani there is no potential transaction in the future. The aim is not to buy gold or stock in the future through this. Just betting on the prices, the direction of the prices. There is no asset. But it's not haram because of that only. This is one element. The ulama, they mentioned, yani you're not selling anything, not selling a tangible asset, you're not selling a right, financial right, you're not... It's just you are just gambling on the direction of the prices. But even if there is an asset like the classical or the traditional options, they're still haram, these options. Unless they became halal when you did not spend your money as an employee. They were given to you, this right was given to you for free. From the company here, they became halal because you are not gambling with money. If you put your money, if you buy them, then you'll be gambling with your money. You don't know what will happen to the price. It will go up or down. So it's the same thing. So my point is, even if there is an underlying asset, like with traditional, it's still the concept itself is, the concept itself has gharar fahish, excessive gharar, and therefore it is haram. It's not about riba, it's about gharar fahish, excessive gharar, uncertainty. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the brother is talking about tax-free saving accounts. I have mixed feelings about these tax-free, because they are saving accounts. They will generate automatically interest. And you said comparing them with checking account, they don't generate interest. So you are on the safe side. I mean, you are to a certain degree. Because the bank is using your money anyway. Yani, so your money is used in different riba-based transactions. They're giving your money to incorporations, to investors, and they're making interest income through your own money. They're using banks and financial institutions. They're using the money of the public to run their operations. So your money is used... is mixed with this with these activities, because with the bank, the main activity of the bank is financial intermediation, taking money from depositors and giving money to businesses and corporations, and so it's a financial intermediation. But this is something that we can do nothing about it. But when it comes to tax-free saving accounts, I have a mixed feeling about them. Why? Because they help you saving on your taxes. This is something good. And we are supposed to reduce our taxes as much as we can. From the other side, they generate some interest. And you said, yes, you can take this interest and give it as a donation. You don't have to consume it. So it's up to you. I don't have a fatwa about them. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not clear to me. So from one side, you are going into an account that will generate interest. You are not supposed to do that. But at the same time, there is something good about it, which is your money, you don't pay taxes on this money, which is another something good. So, Allahu A'lam. I don't have an answer about that. Yes, brother. We had a lecture about this topic 1 year ago. It's about screening of Sharia screening of stocks in the market. Now, what we know here in the West that all companies deal with interest. So the scholars are divided into two groups regarding investing, Muslims investing in the stock market in this environment. So there is a group of scholars who said, a Muslim is not supposed to invest his money in companies that deal with interest. And this fatwa is good for people who live in the Gulf area or Malaysia. They have different halal alternatives. They have companies that are pure. This is what they are saying there, and they don't deal with interest. So they purified their income, and wallahu ta'ala alam. But they said they have alternatives, halal alternatives in those countries. Here in the West, we don't have this alternative. So we have two opinions. A group of scholars who said, no. If the company is dealing with interest, you are not supposed to pay there to buy their shares and trade them in the market. The other opinion, they came up with, the other group of scholars, they came up with a criteria to select shares of different companies. So they look at the financial statements, they study all the structure of these companies, and they tolerate some small amount of riba, a percentage of haram activities or interest income. These are called بالعربيه باللغه العربيه الشركات ذات الاسهم المختلطه, or companies with shares of mixed income, and income coming from halal sources and income coming from haram. So they have their criteria, and they have their Islamic indexes, Sharia indexes. In Canada, here we have S&P 60 Sharia index. So this is the only option we have. I'm not saying it's halal, because it's a very thorny subject, and many scholars, many qualified scholars, I have studied looked into their writings about these kind of companies. Many of them would talk about these two opinions, and at the end they don't give their opinion. They tell you about two opinions and they stop, because they don't want to take a risk here. This is a Sharia issue, right? It's very difficult because they're dealing with the income that will come to people. People will use it. They will support their families with it and everything. So if you feel comfortable with it, with this Sharia index criteria, can look for these options and you know, trade through them. If you're not comfortable and you say, well, stay away from riba, then it would be your option, your choice. And I think it's a better choice, wallahu ta'ala alam, unless you look at it from a different angle. There is another angle, that your money is already in the bank. Yeah, and the bank is using it to finance these kind of activities. Maybe you should put your money in these kind of controlled and monitored activities, and they are controlled and monitored by scholars. And these scholars, every 3 months, they look into these indexes, and if this company is not compliant with their criteria, then it will be taken out and leave only these companies that are compliant with this criteria. So they are monitored. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But of course, in the Arab world, in the Muslim world, this option is not there, because they have some halal alternatives. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Naam. Anything that is not clear about options or binary option tradings? Forex? Yeah, we did a lecture about it 2 years ago. It's available online. It's haram, yani. You cannot make it halal. Like this one here, you cannot make it halal. It's gambling. Forks, you cannot make it halal the way it is done in the international markets. Because the delivery, taqabud, in Sharia, aqd al-sarf, the sarf, currency exchange contract, is very, it has many restrictions in Sharia. And when you exchange money, the delivery has to be on the spot. You have to receive either real possession, you receive it in your hand, or constructive possession, you receive it in your account. When you receive it in your account, you should have immediate access to your account. So here with Forex, you don't. If you make a profit, you will receive it after 2 days, 48 hours. And Rasulullah ﷺ emphasized the concept of, you know, immediate delivery when we exchange money. Gold with silver, or gold with gold, or silver with silver, dinar with dirham. All these ahadith are well documented. They are authentic ahadith. And the other problem with this activity is that you have to trade through a broker. So the broker will tell you, who might tell you that I have an Islamic account. These forex companies, they have Islamic accounts too. So the only thing they look at, if you leave your account, your position open overnight, if you don't have an Islamic account, if it is a money that you borrowed from the broker, they will charge you interest. So if you choose Islamic account, they don't charge you interest. Because they believe that the main problem with Islamic Sharia is the concept of interest. But there is another form of riba that these companies, they don't know about. That when you get a loan from someone, if he stipulates another condition in the contract, said, I will give you a loan, but you have to trade through my platform. You have to do all your activities through my company. So he will benefit from this loan. وَكُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا فَهُوَ رِبًا. Yani any loan that generates any benefit through a stipulation, then it is a form of riba. Through a stipulation, that means to make it a condition, shart. If I gave you 1,000 as a loan, and after 1 month, you decide to give me 1,100 instead of 1,000. I didn't ask for it, but you said this is a gift from me. Is it halal or not? It's halal because it was not stipulated. It's an increase, right? Need to pay attention to that. It's an increase. I gave him 1,000 as a loan. He's returning 1,100. This 100 is halal for me. Why? Because I didn't ask for it. I didn't tell him pay me 100 extra. So it was not a conditional contract. It's not just gave me loan for the sake. Gave you a loan for the sake of Allah. But these people know. If you tell them I'll take a loan from you, this is the margin trading. In forex, you cannot trade with $100. It's not like binary option trading. You can trade with $100 or $200. In forex, no. The movement of the price is very small, very small. So you need to make like $500 profit or like $200 profits. You need to at least trade with $100,000 or $200,000. So from where you get this money, it's not your money. Usually, it's you make a deposit of $1,000. Dollars. So the broker will tell you for this 1,000, for each dollar, I'll give you $100 to trade with. But he doesn't give it to you in your hand. He will tell you it is in your account. It could be just numbers. Yani the money is not there, just numbers. So he'll give you this 100,000 block to trade with. So he's giving you a facility. It was classified as a loan by Muslim scholars, but you cannot tell him, I will take this 100,000 and trade with another company. No one will allow you to do that. He's giving you this facility because he wants you to trade through his platform. So he's benefiting from this loan. فَكُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا فَهُوَ رِبًا. فَهُنَا he's stipulating, he's making it a condition that you trade through. وَلِذَيْكَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا حَدِيثٌ مَشْهُورٌ نَهَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ بَيْعٍ وَسَلَفٍ. Rasulullah ﷺ has forbidden Muslims to combine between a sale and a loan in the same contract. A sale. What is he selling here to you? He's selling his services. He's not asking for money. He doesn't take commission. Some of them, they take commission. But some of them will benefit from the spread. When you are trading, there is an amount of the money that they take from every transaction. So he will benefit from this transaction that you do. So he will. It's a contract that you're making with him. But at the same time, he's giving you a loan. So combination of a sale and a loan. Or another contract and a loan. You know what I mean? And Rasulullah said this is a form of riba. You understand what I'm saying here? Can I tell you, مثلا, Muhammad, you want a loan, you need money, right? I'll give you $1,000, but with one condition. You buy my car, or we rent my apartment. Can I do that? I can't. This is a form of riba. I'm telling you, I'm not going to increase the loan, but I want to benefit in a different way. I want you to buy my car. I want you to rent my apartment. I want you to work 2 hours, 3 hours in my place. So I am generating some benefit with my loan. هذا نوع من الربا. Even if there is no financial here increase above the capital that I gave it to you, but it is still a form of riba. So these brokers, they combine between the sale and this loan, and also the delivery. The delivery is always 48 hours in the international markets, and this will make it haram. So there is no Islamic forex account or Islamic binary option trading account, even though they are available online. And they are cheating many Muslims. And many Muslims are trading through these companies. Yes. Hedge funds, it depends. Yani. They are institutions. They do, you know, they collect money from investors, and then they invest this money in the market. It depends how they do it. I'm not sure. Yani, I'm not familiar with their activities. I cannot give you an answer about that. Yeah. I know. Yeah, futures are not halal. Futures, options, these are derivatives. Most of the derivatives are not Sharia compliant. Can we invest in stocks at companies we work at where they offer discounted rates to employees? I said if it is a gift from the company, it's halal. Take it and sell these shares in the market and try to purify your income, your profit. This is what I said, what I explained during the lecture. If the company give you the stock, if they offer the stock for free, then take it and sell it in the market and try to purify this profit. Give 10% as a donation, wallah. You can talk to your accountant. He should be able to tell you the percentage by just looking. If it is a listed company, all their financial statements are public, and then he should be able to get access to this financial statement. Should be able to tell you the percentage of interest income. Wallahu ta'ala. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be taking some risk here, because we said all these companies deal with interest, and when you buy it on purpose, it's like you are going into this transaction on purpose. You don't receive it. You didn't receive it as a gift or as a bonus from a company. So I don't advise you to do it if you know that your company is involved with interest, because I mean all of them are. As I said before, the only option we have, if you want to trade the companies that are included in these Sharia indexes, that could be the safest thing you do. And they are not, and the scholars do not agree about their Sharia compliance. As I said, they are divided about them. Group of scholars, they said it's to buy or trade these stocks. And some of them, they said it's Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. You can listen to this lecture online. It is available online. نعم. I didn't get it. You get some for free. So you have to buy. You have to buy, and then they give you some of them for free. Yeah, Allahu alam. I don't have an answer for that. We don't want to use our personal interpretations, but the ulama, they said, if you don't feel comfortable about the income or the activities of the company, they're not supposed to share to buy their shares, because the moment you buy their shares, you become an owner. That's why they are saying about this gifted or this grant, you receive it, you sell it right away in the market. You don't keep it. Sell it in the market, make your profit, and purify it, and that's it. Is company pension, not CPP. I pay share every company matches, I invest in the market. Yeah, that's another issue. You are talking about RRSP, right? RRSP is here. So, na'am? Not CPP. Not CPP. Not Canada Pension. Okay, it's a different arrangement. Different scheme. It's not RRSP. Okay. Okay, they will give you money. If it is up to you, if they take only 60 and they give you $40, 40% money, right? Can you just keep it in your account and you don't invest it? It's a portfolio. And they give it to the bank and... Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. So one scholar here in North America, which I respect his knowledge and his ilm and his taqwa, he said you can take a benefit from this arrangement, but if you know that they are investing this money in different companies, financial companies, and could be some entertainment companies and different companies you're not happy with, or you don't know them, you don't know the nature of their activities, you can take this money, you take only the capital. If there is a profit, this account, your account makes a profit, don't take the profit, give it as a donation. Don't benefit from the profit. Take your money, which is 60%, and the 40% that you took it as a grant, received it as a grant from the company, which is the capital, and any profit you make through this kind of schemes, said you can give it as a donation. Yeah, and if you can invest through Sharia indexes, it would be the safest option. Allahu a'lam. So you can do it this way. Or you can keep it in a saving account and give the money, the interest that is generated, you give it as a donation. Okay? I think we need the last question here before we make the adhan. At what time is the adhan? 9:20 is the iqamah. 9:05? No, today is Friday. So 9:20 is the Iqamah. So 9:05, it will be Sunday, inshallah. Okay, do you have any question? The last question before we make the Iqamah or the Adhan. Yes, brother. They offer what? rent. You're renting from them and they give you 1 month free. It's halal. Take it. Oh, Akhi, well, this is very dangerous here. Have to pay attention. I was talking about loans. Combining between a loan and a sale transaction. Or another transaction, a loan. Here you are renting from them. And they are giving you 1 month for free. There is no loan that is involved here. You got it now? You know, talking about the immediate delivery position. I had some people sending me questions, listening. There are many people who listen to these lectures outside Canada, from other cities and everything. Some of the people understood when we talked about Forex that any transaction we do, then we have to deliver the both counter values in the spot, whether we're selling cars, food, rice, anything. I was talking about money. Any currency exchange. When you deal with money, gold and silver or money, you have to immediately deliver the counter, both counter values. This is Aqd al-Sarf. There are many contracts in Sharia. There is Aqd al-Salam, Aqd al-Sarf, Istisna', Al-Bay', General Sale. There are different types of contracts. And every contract has its own condition. Here I'm talking about Sarf, dealing with money, selling and buying money. So you have to pay attention. Here I was talking about combining between a loan and another transaction. Because by giving the loan and asking him to do a transaction with me, I am benefiting because I made it a condition for this loan. I'm not going to give you the loan unless you buy my car. I'm not giving you this loan unless you work for me in my business for 2 hours or 3 hours. So I'm generating some benefit for on account of this loan. Here, the transaction you're talking about, there is no loan involved. You're renting from them, which is halal, and they are giving you 1 month for free. It's halal. There is no problem. Alhamdulillah, there is something halal tonight. Okay, jazakumullahu khairan.